going on, everybody? Welcome to the Baywatch Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span, and I am joined tonight by my lovely wife, Mrs. Span. Say what's up to the people, baby.
Hey.
And we are recording, it's what, damn near midnight, and we went to go see Ma tonight. And so we're going to review Ma tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about Ma tonight. And then we're going to try something a bit different. After we give our 5 stars, we're going to let you guys give the ratings also. So there's going to be a rating system on the website so you guys can go there and rate the movies as well as we do. So we're going to give our little thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give it some stars. You're going to give it some stars. Maybe, maybe not. And, you know, the listeners can do their thing too, man. It's like, you know, like, what's that? Rotten Tomatoes. Bless you.
Uh-huh.
You know, you know how Rotten Tomatoes do their thing? They get like the critics review and then the audience review or whatever. We're going to like bite their shit. That's kind of what we're going to do. We're going to bite their shit. But yeah, man. It's been a minute since we did a Baywatch. The last time we did a movie review, we went to see Us. You all right over there?
Yeah.
Is that the drink in your cup that got you over there looking a little?
No, something is like, I don't know, like, I feel like sneezy.
Ah, man, these allergies, maybe you got the allergies too right now?
I don't normally, but.
Because my shit been kicking my ass. It really has. I haven't been taking anything for it. And it's well deserved that I've been getting my ass kicked by my allergies because I haven't been taking that medication. But, yeah, like I said, the last time we did any movie reviews or anything, it was for Us, which was the Jordan Peele film with Lupita Nyong'o, and I think his name was Winston Duke.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, it's been a while since we did a Baywatch, but we are back, and we are doing it, and we're going to get right to it. But before we do that, got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Baywatch Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages, and of course we will play those messages on the show or respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thebaywatchpod.com. That's feedback@thebaywatchpod.com. Leave us those emails, and of course we'll read those emails here live on the show. You can also reach out to us on Twitter. My name on Twitter is Mr_Span, and my wife's name on Twitter is?
Podcast Bay.
Yes, indeed. Go ahead and do those follows on these Twitter streets. Also, you can go to our website, and, well, you can't watch replays of Baywatch, but you can listen to the Baywatch Podcast on the website. You can actually, from here on out, give a rating for the movies that you hear, give a rating for the movies that we review. Here on the Baywatch Podcast. And you can also go there to our store. You can get yourself some merchandise there. You can get a t-shirt or a coffee mug or like a water bottle or something, you know, so help support us in that way. We also have a Patreon now. So there are different levels of ways for you to support us here at the Baywatch Podcast and the Span Report Podcast Network. You can hit the donate tab on the upper right hand side of the website and boom, it'll take you to our Patreon page. And you can help us out and keep this ball rolling here at the Span Report Podcast Network on our Patreon page. And that's all set up. So for all of you guys who really want to kind of help us do this, you can go to that Patreon page, give as little as $2. $5 or $10, man. It's really not a whole lot of money, but every little bit helps. And we really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. But it's time for us to get started here with our review. And so I'm going to ask you your overall thoughts, babe. How'd you feel about it off top?
I didn't really care for it. It wasn't my jam.
Wasn't your jam?
No, I didn't care for it.
All right. Yeah, I was kind of indifferent.
Were you?
I was kind of indifferent. So Octavia Spencer, I think her talents were wasted on this film.
Yeah.
I feel like Octavia Spencer needed some, I feel like she brought as much as she could possibly to this, you know, to this, but I just think the script was kind of lacking. And I think the way in which, it's kind of like a teenage, like, would you, I don't know, say thriller or slasher?
No. No.
What would you call it?
I would say it was just like a suspense. Mm. I would say definitely just suspense. But like, what they're trying to call it is like a satire.
A satire? Is that Keisha over there doing her thing?
Yeah, she's just really being a bitch.
Yeah.
But, I guess people are calling it a satire of like I don't even know. A satire of a mammy film is what I read.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like...
Who said that? Was it like Shadow and Act or something?
No, it was in the New York Times.
Oh, okay. I guess. I don't know if I would have necessarily categorized this as like a satire. Like, when I think satire of a scary movie, I think of scary shit movie. Like Scary Movie. You know what I'm saying?
I don't
like,
know. I mean,
kind of poking fun
the
at
way,
it.
It was very like philosophical college words. It was very like deep.
Oh, they think piece this shit, and it didn't
was
require
like a,
to think
it was
piece.
Like a very like what I the couple of things that I read all were just like super editorial, like this is my swan song, I'm about to write the shit out of this. So I mean, but I just it lacked a lot. I felt mm-hmm. like it was just like kind of hollow and like empty and just kind of like, all right, okay, this is what we're doing. I think there were some points in which you could see like the potential of it and like just how creepy it could have gotten. But mm-hmm. I just feel like they didn't take it that far. I almost feel like it could have been PG-13.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, aside from like a few obvious things that, you know, like them showing that dick. You know, it could have just been PG-13, like the way that it was. I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of feel like there was a lot of the predictability of it. Excuse me, like there was a lot of the predictability of it, and I guess like with the genre, it can. Excuse me, like with that. With this particular genre, it's just like you kind of see it coming almost. You know what I'm saying? Like you almost know what to expect. Like you know they're, you know, going to be in a room where they're really not supposed to be in, and you know they're almost going to get caught. But you know,
well, yeah, they I don't mean, like you caught. Know, as soon as she says the rules of like the you know don't go upstairs, you obviously know they're going to go upstairs.
Yeah,
like you just there's just
and they play that in the trailer too.
Well, yeah, but like I'm just saying like things are just quite predictable, and I don't know if it's like because the trailer like once you see the trailer and once you understand the premise of the movie, like you know she's gonna get fucked up, which is where in my mind I thought they would take that when a good movie does that, they tell you a lot in the trailer or they tell you the premise, that means some fucked up shit is about to happen, that's what's about to carry us, gonna catch you off guard.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie kind of lacked in that, like they pretty much told you the premise in the trailers, and all the commercials and stuff like that, so you understood what was gonna happen. But instead of taking it to that next level of like crazy shit that they could have done that they couldn't show on a trailer,
yeah,
they pretty much just kept it like pretty PG-13.
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't yet seen this film, like I guess the basic premise of it was Octavia Spencer's character, Sue Ann, is an older lady. She's working at a veterinarian's office in a small town. They didn't really say what, like, state or anything.
They're in Ohio.
They're in Ohio. And she's kind of a recluse. She's, you know, I don't even know if I would even say recluse. Like, she's almost just like a weird lady.
She is a weird lady, but, like, what is kind of apparent is that she... They kind of tickled at the issue. Like, they kind of, like, I don't know how to, they touched on it just, like, the teensiest, tiniest bit, is that pretty much she's, like, one of the only black people.
Yeah.
In the town. And she's also been there her entire life.
Yeah. And she went through something traumatic in high school. And so... What happened to her in high school, I think, has carried on with her. I mean, it definitely carried
She's
on with her
revenge.
From the rest of, for the rest of her life. But it's just weird how she's seeking revenge, like how opportunistic it became for when Maggie and her mom moved back into this town. So basically, Sue Ann went to high school with all of these kids' parents, right? And, I mean, shit, we don't really care about spoilers here, right?
I mean, I don't.
Okay, so spoiler alert. All of these kids' parents did some really fucked up shit to Sue Ann when she was in high school.
Yeah, when they were all in high school.
When they were all in high school, basically Sue Ann was the only black girl at the school. She was kind of shy, kind of nerdy, really, like, inexperienced socially, just socially awkward and everything. But she was really into this boy. His name is, what was this dude's name? Pull up his, was it Stu? No, it wasn't Stu. Mm-hmm. Ah, man. They don't have this whatever guy up here. Whatever his name was. Whatever his name was. She was into this guy, whatever. He wasn't really into her, but they fooled her into believing that she was going to have a moment with him in a janitor's closet at school, where she basically gave a blowjob to this dude in the closet, and it wasn't the guy she thought it was going to be with. Humiliated her.
Yeah, then like everyone was just outside of the closet.
Yeah, just waiting on them to come out. Just like really fucked up shit to do to somebody, right? And she's carried this with her practically for the rest of her life. Like, you know, she's just, and
like rightfully anyone would. So, though. Like anybody would. Anyone would.
Yeah, so, but we are introduced to Ma, or Sue Ann, by the kids trying to purchase alcohol at the liquor store or whatever. And, you know, first she gives, you know, she kind of blows them off. And then they do she eventually caves in, goes get the liquor for them. The kids go to this rock quarry or whatever. And they do what, you know, kids who live in bumfuck nowhere do. Like, they just get high and they drink or whatever else. And she eventually makes herself available to these kids repeatedly to go get them alcohol.
Yeah.
And eventually she invites them all to her house, and she does this under the premise of, I just want to make sure if y'all going to do this kind of shit, y'all do it someplace safe and y'all can be, you know, y'all going to be, you be all right going home. I'm going to take care of y'all.
Yeah.
But it gets weird. It gets weird. The kids are just like, you know, before it gets weird though, it becomes popular. Not only is she like doing it with the initial group of five kids that she got the liquor for, but eventually you look up and there's a party and it was like a whole bunch of kids that ain't even them at this lady's house. And I'm trying to figure out how does this is what I was trying to figure out. Like, how does word pass around like that at school and nobody's parents picked up on this sort of thing? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, there's kind of...
I mean, I'm sure it happens. I'm sure there are ways. I'm just trying to figure out in the town that's small how that can become such a thing where all the kids go there and nobody's the wiser. It's just something that the kids have for themselves.
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I think people have pulled off parties or whatever and like no parents came or parents like found out or whatever, but once.
This seemed like a weekly thing.
Well, no,
like,
I mean, because
like her house became the club.
I mean, parties at different locations, but like it is strange that like people just were coming to this one place and like, no, I mean, that's weird, but I guess we're supposed to believe like all of these kids kind of have like that kind of freedom. Like there was always those kids whose like parents,
yeah,
they could always get away with something, or like their parents always let them go out or whatever else. So I guess we're just supposed to believe like all these kids, like,
yeah, like Maggie's mom, you know, she was away for a while. She was out of town. Mm-hmm. She had the house to herself.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend, I believe his name was Andy, like his dad, you know, was kind of concerned with the business, but also he was just preoccupied with his girlfriend, Mercedes. You know, and then you don't even see the other kids' parents. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they pretty much had free reign to kind of do what it was that they wanted to do. I mean, like, she starts showing up at their school, like, giving them care packages and shit.
Now that.
Of drugs and
showing
and alcohol.
Up at the school. These days, like, you can't just roll up on somebody's school, like, these days.
Yeah.
There are not very many schools that you could just roll up and roll into the parking lot and no one is paying you any attention or no one... would
but
say anything.
If we're talking about them
but
being
also,
a small town.
No, I did forget her daughter goes to that school.
And I was going to say that too. Her daughter went to the school. So it's not as if like school officials or administration would have been, you know,
like she wouldn't be a completely foreign right. It's person. Like,
we know who she, and she also went to that school.
Yeah. So they know who she is, but it's just like so many, I think the problem was so many things in that story was like, it had to be like, you would have had to be there at the exact right moment.
Yeah.
And there, you know,
a lot of right, exactly right moments.
The exact moment, you know, you would have to just, that was, and I think also the characters outside of Maggie, that you don't really get much like development.
They're okay. So that's another thing too. Maggie and Sue-Ann are basically the two main characters.
Yeah.
Maggie's mom, Erica, kind of like the little supporting character. And then her friend, Haley. Mm-hmm. Haley is the wild one, always wanting to get into some shit. You know, she's the one that really, like, endears herself to Maggie. Like, hey, girl, come hang with us. Be our friend. You know, I know you new in town, this, that, and the other. And she's just wild. Mm-hmm. Right? But outside of that, and maybe Andy a little bit, but yeah, only just like, you know, the cursory love interest for Maggie. But outside of that, everybody else is just kind of like filler.
Yeah, they're just like the stereotypical group of teens, mm-hmm, you know, like in a white kind of town, white movie. And it was just like the, you know, the token black kid who like...
Who embraced his tokenism, by the way.
He definitely did. He definitely knew. And then there was like that moment kind of when shit kind of got crazy and like she had painted him white. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like there's only room for one of us or whatever, which is like, makes me kind of think.
And I'm looking at the like the credits and shit of the movie, and it, you know, his name in the movie is Darrell.
Yeah.
This shit looks like Daryl on here. I'm just... Okay, Darrell. Listen. But, so yeah, like, what did you think of Maggie, though, as a lead character? Like, did you feel like, okay, yeah, I see this coming, or she carried this well? Like, how did you feel about Maggie as, like, a lead character for this?
I mean, she was kind of just... like, you know?
Yeah.
Like wheat bread.
Well, I felt like, of course there's going to be the one person who gets it, nobody else gets it.
I think that what they did is they played it, she was skeptical about many things through the movie. Like when old girl was talking about vaping and she was like, you can smoke as much as you want until you're 25 and then you quit, nothing will happen. Like she kind of was like, bitch.
I think all of us would have been skeptical. Like, come on now.
No, the rest of the kids was like, yeah.
No, okay, yeah.
And
yeah,
she was like, yeah. And they kind of made a point of like, they showed just her face and she was just like, I don't know about that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and she was just skeptical. Like, she was skeptical of the entire group when they came in the library. Like, she was just trying to eat her fucking lunch. And like, old girl came in and she was just kind of like, okay, bitch, I don't fucking know you like that.
I think they played that up too. Like, you know, the fact that she's new.
Yeah.
She's on, like, you know, when you're in a new surroundings, you don't really know people or anything. Like, you're really kind of, like, on guard and you're watching.
Yeah.
Because you're not necessarily comfortable in these particular surroundings. But
they didn't, what they didn't do, which was good, is that they didn't make her, like, she was new. And, like, yeah, it seemed like she wanted to hop in. Like, yeah, when she was standing there looking over the cafeteria, like, she wanted to, like, I want to have friends or whatever, but she wasn't like a fucking eager beaver,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like when they came up, she was kind of like, I'm just trying to eat my lunch. Like, what the fuck do y'all want?
Hey girl, we having a party. Well, I'm gonna go to this music festival with my mama.
Like, and, yeah, like, and I think that they did a good job of like kind of having her, you could kind of, she kind of wanted, seemed like she wanted to stay true to herself. Mm-hmm. Because she was the first one that was like, I don't want to hang out over there no more. And then she didn't. But mm-hmm, then, like, you know, she ended up over there anyway. Mm-hmm. But it was, like, because her boyfriend or whatever convinced her to go. And then it was, like, she saw the pictures of them all over there. And she went over there to, like, be like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
Yeah.
So, they did a good job of that. Like, you know, kind of seemed like she wanted to stay true to herself. But it just was, like, it was too much.
Okay, so the question that I got for you is the revenge angle, right? Because, of course, we learn later on in the movie that these kids' parents did some really fucked up shit to Sue-Ann or Ma. They did some really fucked up shit to her in high school. Mm-hmm. We learned about that later on in the film. But the whole revenge angle where, like, okay, you befriend these, your classmates' kids. Mm-hmm. Was it her, like the whole thing of whether or not it was a plan from the beginning? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, so I got these kids over here.
No,
you know, I'm saying the way in which they develop it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, like, I'm going to have all these kids come over here. I know they're linked to these people that I went to high school with and everything else. But whether or not from the very beginning, she was always thinking about doing something to these kids as a way to get back to them or to get back at their parents. Or was it simply because, yo, even their kids are rejecting me because of the way I'm behaving or the way I'm being perceived? Like, she went back into that whole thing of not being cool, not being a part of the in crowd.
I think it was neither. I don't think it was a plan from the beginning. I think it was when she looked at the van and noticed the name mm-hmm. on the van and was like, oh. Then I think the wheels started turning. Mm-hmm. But I don't think she was even... I think she was going about her fucking days really not, like, thinking about that shit. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they had said when they first went into the basement and they were like, damn, nobody's been down here for a while. But that's where all the yearbooks and stuff were at first. So I don't think she was thinking about it, like, for a long time and then, like, started planning the shit out. I think, like, it was, like, the perfect storm of, like, she happened to be walking that three-legged dog by the damn store. They, you know, approached her. First, she was like, no. Then she saw the name on the van and was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you like, know what, you're right.
The wheel, you know, she was like, all right, or whatever. You know, she gave in and mm-hmm. did it. And then, I don't even think when she saw, like, she saw the name on the van, and I think at first she just really wanted to, like, befriend them.
Yeah.
But I think then shit started getting haywire. And I think also because anybody who went through what she did in high school, probably, you know, PTSD, that's a thing.
Yeah.
So I think being around them and being in that scene, like being partying with high schoolers and stuff, I think it brought the memories and the kind of want for revenge more to the forefront.
Now, you know what's interesting, though, because I didn't think about this until just now. You know, when she noticed the name on the van mm-hmm. and who was driving it and everything, and they told her that they were going to go down to the rock quarry mm-hmm. to, you know, just, you know, hang out and drink and whatnot. And it took her back to when she was first invited to that rock quarry where the cool kids were, where she hadn't, you know, she like, again, she was awkward. She was, you know, kind of just like a social outcast, so to speak. And she was like, oh, yeah, you know, we used to hang out there all the time, you know. I think it was then when she just kind of put two and two together. Was like, well, maybe I can get close to them. I don't know.
I don't know, because she called, like, then she freaking called. She went back to her job, called Andy's dad, and was like, I heard your son is out here smoking weed or doing whatever at the fucking, then the whole thing with like the cop came, stuff like that. So I didn't really see what
landing
her
low and spread it wide. No,
I mean, I just didn't see what the point of her calling the people, you know, calling the dude,
yeah,
or whatever. I just didn't see the point of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to like figure out like how we get to like the revenge, like at what point did it become the revenge part?
I mean, I think it
might have been when Haley told everybody like, yo, we not fucking with Ma no more, don't go over her house, the bitch is crazy. And I think that's when it was like, okay, now the kids are treating me much like their parents did back in high school, and I'm a social outcast again.
I mean, and then also when Andy's dad, they met at that bar.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was one of the points where I liked how it went. Because like when they first, you know, he comes in the office and he's like, oh, let's meet at 6, blah, 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 blah. Like he, it just seemed like, oh, like maybe he was nice to her, or maybe he actually did like her, or just, you know, whatever. It just seemed, but like that fucking twist when he was like,
the fuck is my son doing at your house?
Like, do you know what this is with the little tracker that was on the car? Like, why the fuck is my son spending time at your house? Like, that, I don't know, that, I liked that twist, yeah, because he, like, just played it so cool, like, you know, he saw her, was like, you look lovely, like, she was all fucking happy, went and got her fucking leopard shit out the damn dry cleaner.
I know, she came, she was speeding home, too, and that's the thing, like, it was that, there's that movie trope again, too, though, so now these kids, like, these kids are starting to notice when they go to Ma's house, sometimes, like, they get so fucked up, they don't remember everything that happened.
Yeah.
And they're losing shit.
Yeah.
So, like, Maggie lost her earrings that her mama gave her. Haley lost, what was it?
The
like,
ring,
a ring that her her grandmother's ring. Another friend, they noticed another friend, Ma was wearing that friend's bracelet that her boyfriend gave her. So, like, Ma was pretty much, like, robbing their asses while he was coming over there, too. Taking little, you know, trinkets and stuff like that from them. And they go back, they go to Ma's house to, like, go and steal their shit back, right? But this ain't the first time, though. Like, this is when I first saw this, when they were at the party, the first real big party.
Mm-hmm.
And Haley's like, girl, I gotta pee.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The bathroom in the basement is, like, occupied because some kids is in there fucking. And they're like, well, let's go upstairs. Like, okay. And it's like, white kids don't respect no motherfucking boundaries. I'm like, this is a prime example of white kids not expect, you know, not respecting boundaries. Like, you know what? I know this lady told us not to go upstairs and her shit. I mean, she letting us do all this shit in her career, right?
And all she asked.
All she asked us to do was like, hey, man, don't go upstairs.
Don't
man.
Go
Don't fuck
upstairs.
With my shit up there. But no, white kids don't respect. I gotta pee. Like, yeah, I'm like, okay. I mean, it's a trope. It's a trope. But still, like, they weren't respecting those boundaries, despite, even though Ma is fucked in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Just respect my house, man. If you ain't gonna do nothing else, just respect the crib. So, what did you think about Jeannie? Because Jeannie is Ma's daughter.
Yeah.
And we're introduced to Jeannie early in the film.
Yeah.
Like, the first 5 minutes of the film, we see Jeannie, and then, like, for the next hour, we don't see her no more.
Yeah.
And then, boom, there go Jeannie in the house. And basically, Ma's like, what do they call that?
Munchausen's?
I think it's Munchausen's, where her mom was basically making her sick, giving her all these drugs to make her sick and stuff. So, Ma is abusing Jeannie by, you know, basically giving her, like, drugs that you would give an animal. What was that? What did she give her? Something? I forget
the
name.
She was giving her drugs that you... Yeah. So she was basically like... I don't know what to think of that, because they could have done something different with that to make... Like, to try to make the point of, like, she was making her into the outcast.
Yeah.
I think they should have... I mean, they could have done something different to the point of, like, she was abusing her in a different way to make her an outcast, or she, like, did something to her appearance to make her outcast, but, like, to make her sick and then keep her in the house as, like, a prisoner, it just seemed off. Like, you're, was she protect, like, being protecting her because, like, of the things that could happen, or was she trying to make her into an outcast like she was?
I think it might have been the latter.
Okay.
I think it might have been a ladder, but, like, even the only thing about that, though, is that, like, even though, I mean, of course she says she loves her and she cares for her and everything else, she's very short with her daughter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I heard those people downstairs. Yeah, I'm going out, go to bed, you know, time to go to sleep, you know, turn the damn computer off, like, very short, never really, like, you know, shows any real affection towards her until maybe, like, the end.
Yeah.
Where the house is fucking burning down and, you know, everybody's, like, escape. So, yeah. Because we kind of, like, I know we're all over the place. But the, I don't know, the scheme to get everybody back to the house. Because at a certain point, all the kids, you know, kind of stop fucking with Ma. And the way in which she gets them to come back to the house is she tells them that she's sick.
With pancreatic cancer.
With pancreatic cancer. And the Andy kid, who's Maggie's boyfriend, is really touched by that because his mom passed away from cancer. Mm-hmm. So, and she plays on that because Andy is like the antidote to Maggie telling everybody, yo, I don't think we should really hang out over there anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you feel about how that was played. Like, do you think, because like the whole pancreatic cancer thing, I mean, kids don't necessarily know. And I think we didn't know. We was calling her a crazy bitch. You know, like, it's kind of fucked up. You know, when my mama was sick, she was acting kind of crazy, too. You know, like... It's a lot, man.
I think that, like, because I'm just thinking to myself of, like... I lived I lived in a small city. So... I'm just trying to think of how we would feel, because there were people whose house we partied over, whose parents, they knew what the fuck was going on, but like we was in the basement or out in the yard or whatever, and like they just kind of were like, I'd rather y'all be drinking here than going, you know, whatever else. But that was like someone, like that was a kid's parent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to comprehend, first of all, a rando. Like, a strangeo, like, oh yeah, y'all can come over to my house and come in my fucking cellar, you know, like, no thank you?
The funny part, too, like, when the first time they went to her house, and old boy start, the little dude start telling her all the things she needs to do with the basement to make it like a happening fucking spot, and she pulls a fucking gun on him and tells the kid to strip.
Creepy!
Yeah. So
I ain't going back
over there. That bitch is crazy. She pulled a gun on me. Nah, I'm cool.
Yeah, like
I'm cool.
The whole thing. And then, you know, Maggie off rip was like, oh, this bitch is in the little boys.
Yeah, you could tell.
Like she was like, hold on. The way she was looking at him and stuff, like, mm-hmm. and the little sly comments that she would make, Maggie was like, oh, you nasty.
She rolled up on Darrell and was like, milk done, your body good, baby. Like, I was like, when was the last time anybody used that line, man?
It was just very, I think, you know what I think it is like the movie itself was kind of all over the place, so that makes it kind of like all over the place to talk about it.
Yeah.
But I just think like, I think it could have, you know what it was, what the problem is? Mm. It's something in my, I don't know, and maybe I heard it on the news or listened to the radio, and somebody associated the movie with, was it Us?
Really?
They associated it with it, because there's someone, as the director, the same director that directed Get Out, no, it was Get Out. So the director that directed Get Out directed this.
No, he didn't.
Well, who? What? It was something. It was someone who was the same.
Because the director of this film is Tate Taylor.
But he directed. I know he directed The Help, but he also directed something else.
I don't know.
Ugh. I don't know what it was, and I just was looking at it.
I think what may have happened is that you have a psychological thriller slasher, you know, this genre of film, and there's black leads. There are black lead characters. And so, like, with the Jordan Peele films, with Us and Get Out, I thought I'd turn that shit off. And the magic of podcasting is that you can pause this shit and start over when something fucks up. But, So, yeah, you were saying something about there being a similarity to this film and either Get Out or Us or Sorry
I don't
to
know where
you.
I got that from. I think I read something briefly about someone who's associated with the film, but so I don't know where I was going with that. Oh.
Well, all right, click clack, skin flap. Man, Keisha in here, like, just making herself known. So, yeah, babe, are you ready to give this movie some stars?
Yeah.
Wait. Did we talk about the ending?
We can.
Okay, so the ending. Eventually, Ma gets everybody back to this house, right? She has this big old shindig, man, and she's about to kill everybody. she done already ran down one of the ladies. She just took the old girl outside running, and, like, she runs her over with her pickup truck. This is one of the people, Mercedes. Mercedes is one of the people who tortured her during high school. Andy's dad, she lures him back to the house with a tracking device because he's thinking his kid is over there. She lures him back there. She straps him down to a bed, threatening, you know, kind of cut his dick off. And that's the dick that was shown that my wife was alluding to earlier.
Did we need that?
Probably not. I mean,
we need that.
I mean, you know what, though? I think what they were going for was, like, you see female nudity, frontal nudity all the time. So
I think what they were going for is this movie really should be PG-13, but like,
we want that R rating to get motherfuckers
let's
in
make it R.
Get
show
the
asses in the seats. Show a little dick sign.
I mean, because it was like, what, 2 seconds? It was a dick on the screen?
I mean, there was yeah.
You think she was handling his dick, though? You think it
No, it was definitely a fake dick.
Okay.
Definitely a fake dick.
Like, Octavia Spencer out here like, oh, okay, I'm going to chop this motherfucker clean
No,
off.
It was definitely a fake dick. What man would let a fucking knife, even regardless of if the woman is acting or not. You gonna let somebody come at your dick with a fucking kitchen knife?
I mean,
one slip.
I mean,
one slip.
It's some people who will commit to the role. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm one of them. I'm just saying it will be some people that will commit to the role.
Yeah.
And so it's not as if it's impossible. But she gets all these kids back to the house. And she, like, has them chained up by the neck, you know what
I'm
saying?
With dog collars.
With dog collars. And she's, like, you know, Haley, she stitches this girl's, like, lips together because
she
talks
too
much. She derails. She paints this boy's face white.
But you know what? I also found that interesting is, like, I guess probably she did get interrupted. But, like, if the worst thing that she was going to do to him was paint his face white, like, that kind of says something, like,
I don't know. I think she was going to eventually kill all of them.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I think that's pretty much what it was. I mean, she was already, like, getting ready to kill his Andy's dad. So, there's that. She took an iron and, like, just put that shit on that kid's, like, stomach while he was knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
We never even mentioned this girl, but there was this Christian girl that showed up to all the parties.
Yeah.
But she was always acting as though she was asleep at all the parties so that she didn't have to drink.
Mm-hmm.
So when she went home, she could say she didn't do any drinking at the party.
Yeah.
And she was in there too. And she was still doing the fake sleep shit. She was still doing the fake sleep shit. She eventually woke up, though, when she seen the craziness that was going on around her. She's like, oh my God. And Ma knocked her ass out with that scalding hot iron that she had just burned old boy with. She did get interrupted when the police showed up at her house. Like, yeah, it's a whole bunch of bottles and cups and shit out here in your yard, cars and shit. Where are the kids? Like, what's happening here? And, you know, she ended up shooting the neighborhood cop, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think the ending left me wanting for, like, so what happens afterwards, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, most of the time when, you know, you have something traumatic like this happens, and maybe it's probably if they plan on doing a sequel or something, which I doubt they will. They could have, because I know there was some people that were still sitting their asses in their seats like it was going to be some after scene credits. I mean,
there
after
may
movie,
have been something, but
scenes.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah, because we got up.
I was ready to fucking go.
But here's the thing. I wonder if people, like, are so trained now because of Marvel to do that at every fucking film.
I think it's a thing that a lot of movies do that.
Do they?
Yes. I could even think back to, what was that movie? The Best Man? Where nothing of note.
You're talking about the dancing scene?
Yeah,
there's
like the whole, like, the movie ends and then if you people who would have just gotten up and left right away would never have seen like the whole like the dancing scene and like, you know, them enjoying the wedding and stuff. Like, there's lots of different things with like after you know the last final scene of the movie. So I think people generally do just wait.
Well, what they did was, I remember, like, I believe it was with Best Man.
Yeah.
There was, like, the wedding. Mm-hmm. And the credits were playing while folks were at the wedding and at the wedding reception. And they were doing the electric slide and all those other things. And then when they got done with all of the credits, you saw that final scene with Terrence Howard and that other lady who's in that movie, the light-skinned lady. I forget her name. They wake up in the bed with one another.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, as far as, like, movies, like, doing it quite regularly, the only, like, Marvel, I mean, all the time. Yeah, I didn't see it a lot, being done a lot.
I can think of a few others where there has been, like, some post, but usually it's, like, with comedies.
Yeah.
Because the ones that I'm kind of thinking, I can see them in my mind, but I can't remember, like, what the names of it were, like, comedies where it was either, like, bloopers or, like, extras and stuff like that, that, like, that was kind of interesting or funny or whatever. I mean, I think, you know what I think, though? I think that what they did with this movie, I think because we were disappointed, because a lot of, like, I think if it had been more scary or more fucked up shit had happened or had been, like, just altogether better, then the ending wouldn't have been so disappointing. Like, if the movie had been better and more suspenseful and, like, left you really wanting more, I don't think you would want the ending of, like, seeing what happened the next day or what happened to, like, did Haley, you know, what her mouth was looking like after all that shit.
Yeah, I really did want to see that.
But, like Haley as I think with because the ending was kind of, like, lackluster and shit, it was like, of course the fucking, you know, parent, the mom comes at the perfect time, opens the door, they all get out. Like, of course, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, she just goes upstairs calmly, lays with her dead-ass high school crush, like...
And burns to death, maybe.
So it's like, of course... You want more because the movie didn't give you very much. But just like, I was just, this is something I almost always do if I didn't like something or if I had like a problem with like casting or whatever. But for this movie, I try to think of like small changes that would have made the movie even more fucked up or like could have made it better or could have, like, because I get what they were going for. And I went in, you know, I don't fuck with scary movies. And I went into it hoping for, like, if I'm gonna see a scary movie, like, I want to see some fucked up shit. Like, I want to get my fucking money's worth about it or whatever. So I think a couple things that would have made it more fucked up. I think they should have made her much more smart. So they should have played it up that she was a nerd, like she was super duper book smart. She should have been a nurse or a doctor. Mm-hmm. Instead of being a veterinary assistant, which, no shade to a vet assistant, I'm sure you gotta go to a lot of school, you know a lot of shit about medications or whatever else, but I think just the scariness of, like, if you think about a nurse or a doctor, like, or even like a medical examiner, like, they know shit about the body, like, they know how to really torture someone.
Yeah.
And that's gonna have you more threatening than, like, this crazy lady who wants revenge or whatever, but, like, this crazy lady who wants revenge who's also a fucking surgeon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think they could have took it there. Like, in the name of, like, Saw, Hannibal, you know what I'm saying? Like, where you're seeing, like, torturous, fucked up shit, they should have, if they were gonna do it, like, that's where they should have taken it.
You know, I don't know if they would have needed to go that far with the, like, the torture and the gore and all that.
I mean,
Saw is pretty fucking far out when you think about
not necessarily
the ways in which they kill people in that movie.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, she was already creative enough to kill old dude or whatever by putting dog blood in him. And, you know, she was saying, like, you're a dog or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a creative, torturous way, like, that would make you really think if you sit and think about it, like, damn, like, she got blood from the dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which, why the fuck are movies torturing dogs or putting dogs in? It just stresses us out. Stop putting fucking dogs in movies, please. Thank you. But, like, that was a thoughtful way of, like, kind of like a psychopath way to kill someone. Is like, you, who would think of that? Like, mm-hmm. you have him there naked on the bed, and, like, you fucking put dog blood into him, and, like, you slit his wrist, and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they could have done that much more meticulous. Mm-hmm. They could have done more with, like, the, okay, so, like, she sewed old girl's mouth shut, but, like, she was asleep the entire time. So we don't even get, like, the satisfaction of, like, we get a few seconds of the satisfaction of, like, her realizing her mouth is sewn shut. Mm-hmm. But, like, we don't get, and, like, we put it together that, like, oh, girl talks too much, so she sewed her fucking mouth shut. But, like, they could have done more with that had they developed Haley's character more and had they have given Ma more to work with.
Yeah.
As a fucking psychopath or whatever else. They could have just, there were so many tidbits that they could have just done more with to, like, creep us out that didn't even have to be, like, gory. It just could have been more psychological.
Yeah.
But I think that they just didn't, like you said before, they didn't give Octavia Spencer much to work with, because I believe she could have gone there. I mean, this is a, what, Academy Award winning actress. Like, I believe she could have gone there. She could have gone further with it. Mm-hmm. And it seemed also like she was willing to go further with it. Mm-hmm. But the script was empty. The script was void of, like, those kind of little things that, like, would have grabbed the audience into it more.
Yeah, I think there were two instances in this film that got the biggest reaction out of the crowd. One was when she mowed down Mercedes on the road. Mm-hmm. Like, Mercedes just running, and she just, like, boom, just, like, runs her smooth the fuck over, mm-hmm. and, like, turns the radio up after she's done with that. Mm-hmm. The other was when Ma was in the damn, getting a pedicure, and Haley is on fucking Snapchat, Facebook, Messenger, whatever the fuck it was she mm-hmm. was on, telling all the other kids, like, yo, we ain't fucking with Ma no more. And Ma sitting in the damn nail shop mm-hmm. with her phone on speakerphone mm-hmm. and this old lady was like, you mind, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm like, mind your business. She, and what did she just straight up call her a bitch? She like, yeah. You bitch.
Yes.
This old lady cussed her the fuck out. Like, yeah. Those are the two things that got the biggest reaction out of the crowd, was that old lady cussing her out mm-hmm. and her mowing down Mercedes on the road. Like, as far as, like, the killings, it was kind of muted in there.
Like even if I think about the daughter, what was the daughter's name again?
Maggie?
No, the...
Oh, let me pull it up.
I don't remember. But when they gave us, they already gave us the tidbit of, like, hearing some...
Jeannie.
So they already gave us the tidbit of, like, hearing her fucking upstairs, some shit's fucking knocking around. You don't know that it's Jeannie or whatever. I think that they should have switched it, and it should have been Ma's mom. And there should have been more, because that would have brought more depth into the character of, like, and then maybe she could have been like, Mom, you were fucking abusing me. That's why I was a fucking weirdo. No one liked me. Like, they could have just done so much more to give it more, like, to give the story more depth.
You know, I was thinking before they revealed that it was Jeannie upstairs and it was her daughter, I was thinking that it was probably her husband that she kept telling everybody left.
Even, that's the thing, even that would have been much better than it being her daughter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. That just adds another element to it. And I don't, and what just kind of came to me is that I don't know if they were trying to aim more for a teen audience. Like, is this a teen movie?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's why they kind of kept it kind of to, like, teens and then, like, their parents, but, like, the parents were supposed to be, like, kind of dumb, and, like, you weren't supposed to be, like, endeared to, like, the parents, because I think that also alienates a whole lot of people that are actually paying to go and see these movies, because had they had made more of a focus on the older people, not necessarily the parents, but, like, instead, like I just said, instead of having Jeannie, it could have been the husband, it could have been her mom or something like that. Had they have focused more on that and made Ma or Sue Ann more of a deep character, I think that brings in much more of an adult audience.
Yeah.
But they focus so much on the kids because it's like they're trying to bring in, like, a teen audience or whatever. But, like, to me, yeah, teens, like, go to movies and stuff like that. But I think it's us. It's, like, the adults that like heavily invest into shows, into movies, into like it could be like the whole fucking My universe.
No, no.
I mean, if but think about it. If they had done a really good job, like think about other like scary movie people, like Jason, Michael Myers. Like think about that, and like if they had done a better job of this, well, you know what I'm saying? That's saying something. A black like psychopath.
I mean, the closest the closest I could see to like Ma. And anything associated with like a franchise,
yeah,
would be maybe like the Hannibal Lecter films, you know, like the Silence of the Lambs kind of thing. Like, but like I don't see it on the level, or like I don't even know if I should say on the level, but like on the scale of something like Friday the 13th or Halloween or anything. Because those characters, like Jason, doesn't say a word. Michael Myers doesn't say a word. They're just killers. And
right, but like, that's what I'm saying. If we had, well, I'm thinking about it along the lines of like Hannibal. Like, if we had gotten a better film, like if they had given her a better script to work with,
mm-hmm.
and they really like played up and made her like a sociopath and made this like made her a complicated, dynamic character, like. While maybe it's not going to be like the Ma universe, we at least may have got like a good, you know, we
2 or 3 film run.
2 or 3. You know what I'm saying? We got like a good, like, wow, representation matters. Like a fucking leading woman mm-hmm. of color as like the star of like these horror movies. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but the movie just wasn't that good. So like, we don't even get to see that.
Yeah. So... how many stars do you give it, babe? Out of 5.
I'll give it like a 1.
Ooh.
I'll give it a 1 because of Octavia. Like, 1 star for Octavia Spencer. Because, like, well, like, I could definitely see the potential in it, and I could have seen it going much further, but I think she did a good job. She worked with what she had, mm-hmm. is what it really came across as. Like, I'm sure there was some parts where she was kind of like, damn, like, you know, but I think she was just working with what she had.
Okay. I'll give it 2 stars. I mean, I don't think the movie totally sucked. I mean, there were some moments in it I thought were like kind of funny, as and all like scary movies and shit. I always like
there's see humor in a bunch. Relief.
I'd be like, oh, that's kind of funny. But yeah, on the strength of Octavia Spencer, I would give it the 2.
Mm-hmm.
There just wasn't a whole lot there. You know, like, they, mm-hmm. it just wasn't a whole lot there. Like, the creepy lady that, you know, the kids are attached to because she lets them get away and do pretty much whatever the fuck it is they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we all kind of grew up knowing someone sort of like that, but... I agree with you. Like, they didn't develop the characters as well as they should have.
They didn't make it make enough sense.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, towards the end, I think they attempted to when they started, you know, flashing back to her childhood and why she was recluse, so, you know, somewhat.
Yeah.
And why she is trying to associate with these kids. It's almost as if she's trying to get her childhood back to some degree. But again, I just feel like, yeah.
I mean, there's just so many.
It left a lot of wanting.
Yeah. Like, why didn't they use the daughter to lure the kids in? And then, because if at the end the daughter was going to turn against the mama, what's the mom's daughter's name?
I keep forgetting.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, why didn't they use her to lure them in? Because that would have made more
sense.
Jeannie. So it would have made more sense for the kids to have, for Jeannie to have befriended the kids, and then they come over and Ma's like, all right, cool. Like, it just, there were just so many things that they could have done to like tie it more together, make it make more sense,
mm-hmm.
make it more believable, kind of guide the audience into something, you know, and then take some twists and turns. I just think they just kind of like blew it on that.
Yeah. So I give it 2. My wife gives it 1. And you guys can also give us some stars. So we got it on the website right now. You go to www.thebaywatchpod.com and you can leave your review on on our website at www.thebaywatchpod.com, a part of the Sparing Report Podcast Network. But, yo, it's getting kind of late here, baby. I'm talking for a minute. We will talk to you guys again soon. But before we leave, let me remind you how to get in touch with us here at the Baywatch Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show and respond to you as well. You can also email us here at feedback@thebaywatchpod.com. That's feedback@thebaywatchpod.com. Go ahead and leave those emails. We'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to you. You can follow me on Twitter. My name on Twitter is Mr_Span, and my wife's Twitter is
Podcast Bay.
There you go, baby. And we are also on Patreon. You can support the show through Patreon. You can go to our website on the upper right-hand corner. There's a donate tab there. You hit that donate tab, and there are three levels, the $2 level, the $5 level, and the $10 level. And they all have different things that you can you get in return for supporting us here at the Sparing Report Podcast Network. You can also go there and hit the store up, get yourself a t-shirt, get yourself a coffee mug, get yourself some stickers or something. There's a lot of stuff in the Sparing Report Podcast Network store that you can go ahead and cop. And yeah, we're going to get on up out of here. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam, peace.
Bye.